previously on Compassion Radio.
So I think it's a humanitarian disaster that when the final story is told, maybe 3 to 5 years from now, when we realize with horror how many people have died, it will be a blight on the conscience of humanity.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth. Hello, friend, and thanks so much for joining us on today's Compassion Radio and, well, for allowing us to join you. When it comes to the media today, what sources do you rely on for news overseas? It's often incomplete or just plain underreported information. Today's conversation is a continuation of what we got started yesterday between Bram Floria and longtime friend and ministry partner Dr. Jim Jennings, president of Conscience International and executive director of U.S. Academics for Peace. When it comes to knowledge about the goings-on in the Middle East today, Jim is our go-to resource and has been for several years. Today, we'll travel to the hotspots of Syria and Yemen. Let's dive in right now for part two of Churches Caught in the Crosshairs. Here's Bram.
The work that's cut out for you now is huge, and of course, you can't be the only group that does something. But you are one of the few groups that bear the name of Christ and a Christian worldview and ethic that's actually doing something, trying to make a difference.
Well, we've fed 100,000 people so far in November and December, and our team that just left Sunday is going to be feeding another 50,000. And that's the limit of our money right now for that. But there are a few other groups. Most of them were turned away in the early months, but only the ones who could make an arrangement with the Army could get in. We happened to be able to do that with the help of our Richard Sarkar, who's been interviewed on your program and has very good influence in Bangladesh. So there are a few others. A field hospital for treating the wounded that's connected now with the Christian hospital Viggo Olsen started at Malunga. Mm-hmm. Memorial Christian Hospital, it's called. Then there are a few other groups that are involved. But really, the Army took over and said, we don't want anybody else here at first. And eventually they saw that the problem was too big for them. And so they were very friendly to us and very cooperative and even helped us to rebag some of the rice in smaller bags so we'd give it out to the people directly.
Very good.
The lentils provide the protein. Yeah. But this is a temporary situation. It's an emergency. We're doing what we can. We need more help.
All right. And I will make sure that there are links provided in the podcast, Jim. And I'm not afraid of making that open to people because we've always been about making sure that people know how to get involved with things that matter. And, of course, we are trusting them to make sure that God uses our friends to keep us on the air to bring these kind of stories to you. So we trust that you'll remember us as well and help keep us on the station where you're hearing this report right now so that as we go along, we can keep giving you updates about what God's doing in places like Bangladesh and the Rakhine state of Burma because of people like Jim Jennings and the folks at Conscience International, which again, we are proud to partner with as often as we can for these specific and acute needs. But of course, we're not just doing this, Jim, to take care of an immediate need and walk away. The hope is to establish a foundation that's going to provide a future and a hope. Your people that you send in have Christ at the center of their lives, and they live by that calling, that mission, that conviction that God's going to use them to transform this world and help build his kingdom.
But we work many years with Norm Nelson, and we work shoulder to shoulder with him in different countries, including Sudan and Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere. And I can say it was one of the most beneficial experiences of my life to work side by side with Norm. In the spiritual sense, he was exemplary, and because he was so involved with Compassion Radio throughout his life, this has been a joy for us to be involved
Amen.
With you.
Well, Jim, can you tell me about what else is happening in the world in places where God's allowed you to have an influence? I know we have talked a little bit about Yemen and Syria, and of course, where you and I traveled last summer, Uganda, all kinds of places where the church is under fire, caught in the crosshairs of all the fighting going on between the sects of Islam. What kinds of things are you aware of that the media is just not getting across to us, or not telling the story at least accurately or completely, in places like where the Houthis are under threat from the Saudi Arabian military forces in Yemen?
Well, you mentioned Yemen several times, Bram, and I think it is the great undercovered story with the Western news media. You do get some stories once in a while about it, but Yemen has been for decades a country that has been away from the news and really sort of a closed country. I was there many years ago, and it was ruled in a medieval style by the religious leader, the Imam. Zaydis are most of the population. Zaydis are a form of Shiite Islam, but not the mainline.
Right.
And those people are very enthusiastic about the religion, and they're being supported now by Iran. So what we have in Yemen is a proxy war between Iran and Saudi Arabia. The Americans are backing the Saudis, and Iran is backing the Houthi rebels who have taken over most of the country. Mm-hmm. But the tragedy is that because Yemen has to import much of its food, that the people, after so many months of war, are starving.
Yes.
And there is an outbreak of cholera, which the latest figures I saw was 1 million people are affected by cholera. How can that not be a huge death rate at yeah. this point? I don't think anybody has the figures to know it. And, of course, the UN flights have been suspended at times. You couldn't get in and out very easily. And if you try to take a ship across from Djibouti on the East African coast, then you may be attacked by
yes.
pirates, and there's no place safe to land there. So I've been looking at ways in which we can get in. We can do it. We've done this kind of thing before in Djibouti and in Yemen. But this is a very difficult problem to solve, and it doesn't seem that anything is going to change in the near future, because the politics do not line up to help the starving people, the people who need medical aid in Yemen. So I think it's a humanitarian disaster that when the final story is told, maybe 3 to 5 years from now, when we realize with horror how many people have died, it will be a blight on the conscience of humanity in the 21st century.
Now, Yemen as a country is very mountainous. And I think about the wastelands of South Saudi Arabia. We think about, you know, Lawrence of Arabia. We see these big, vast plains of sand and camels running across at far distances. We don't think about population densities. But in Yemen, which is that whole strip along the eastern side and the very bottom of the Arabian Peninsula, we're not talking about a small population here. How many people are actually in Yemen and are being affected by this civil war?
Well, we think 20 million. I think that the problem is that they have been underserved in so many ways. There are three distinct sections of Yemen. The highlands in the mountains, which is a plateau, is very high in 5 to 10, 11,000 feet. And that has a very pleasant climate because it's very far south, tropics, but it's high elevation,
yeah.
so it's dry. In a way, that is like Hawaii. But then down below at 5,000 feet is what they call the Tahama, a shelf of low mountains. And that is tropical. It has tropical rainforests. Mm. And then at the coast, it's one of the hottest places on Earth.
Yeah.
So it gets to be 130, 140 degrees. It's just dreadful. So it's an isolated, for a long time, kingdom. And they had a very bitter war in the 70s. I was there during that period. And they would stack bodies up and use them as forts and shoot across to each other. It was just incredibly bloody. That finally was settled, but now it seems to be division coming again in that country. So it needs all the help it can get. The UN is hard-pressed to deliver any aid there.
So if you could, Jim, since we don't know what the exact application is going to be of care and gospel outreach, in the meantime, what do you think would be most effective for us as the body of Christ in the West to pray for?
I think that there will be some diplomatic intervention that will say this is insane, it's not going anywhere. Saudi Arabia and Iran need to sit down across the table and shake hands and say we're all humans, let's stop this nonsense. That is not going to happen in the absence of a miracle. I was invited to Najaf, Iraq, which is, again, a Shiite city supported by Iran, even though it's in Iraq. It's a religious center. and had hoped that we could set up a conference there to invite the Saudi religious leaders as we met with the World Muslim Forum in Madrid, Spain a few years ago. We met the King of Saudi Arabia and the King of Spain. But that doesn't seem to be happening because there doesn't seem to be the will. So I'm rather distressed about what might be possible in this kind of world in which we live.
So if nothing else, we could be praying for a breaking of wills and a restoration of will for peace. God can steer the hearts of kings, so we can pray for that. I know there's plenty of upheaval happening within the Saudi royal family and kind of a dualism of a backward and futuristic look happening at the same time. How it's going to work itself out is open to question for us, but God knows. But we certainly could be praying that a breakthrough can happen in key influencers in those countries, Iran and Saudi Arabia, to, if nothing else, but to break their heart for what they've done to their own human family. And hopefully, therefore, provide a way of escape for the people of Yemen in the fighting they've been dealing with that's raining down on them like hot fire.
Again, Yemen is one of the poorest countries in the world. I think in 2016, now that I recall, the population estimate was given at 27 million people.
Yeah.
But $990 per capita income,
that's nothing.
That's maybe one-third of what Bangladesh has, and it's one of the poorest countries. So we're talking about people who have no capacity to really strengthen their lives unless the bombing stops and unless aid can get in.
Okay, friends, there's always something we can do. In this case, we need to pray for breakthroughs for Yemen. As much as we look for opportunities to do something practical with our hands, prayer is not the last thing we can do or the least. It is the primary thing we can do. So I would encourage you, as God lays on your heart specifics, pray for Yemen, for the people there, and for peace to come to that nation. And for people like Jim Jennings who have a chance to actually sit down with some of the people who could be at the table, pray that God will give people like Jim the opportunity to make the case, to be present with those who have the capacity to make peace. He really is kind of our ambassador to the world on behalf of the body of Christ because of the opportunities God's given him over the past 40 or 50 years to do this. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so thrilled to be able to work with you, Jim. God has obviously entrusted to you as a good steward this diplomatic heart. Because of that, you've gone places and talked to people that most people would never even think would be accessible. Yet God has given you audience. And that's a marvelous thing.
You're listening to Bram Floriup and our very special guest, dear friend Jim Jennings of Conscience International on today's Compassion Radio. And we'll get right back to the interview. Friends, Scripture reminds us that some people sow, others water, but it's ultimately God who gives the increase. I'd like to take a moment to let you know the importance of your correspondence to Compassion Radio, especially as we get started in this new year. Quite frankly, your gift is like a vote to keep the program on this station. And when you don't vote, don't contact us, it's the same as saying you're not interested or you just don't care either way. And I'm sure that's not the case. So today, right now, won't you take a moment and let us hear from you? We can't tell you how important your donations are to the continuance of this ministry of faith. Now, if you haven't already done so, contact us with your vote of support. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can always find us online at CompassionRadio.com. We recently updated the website and would love to get your feedback. CompassionRadio.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Let's get back now to our program.
So give me, if you could, a report on what's happening on the rest of the Middle East right now. Say specifically Syria. How is that wrapping up in the end of ISIS control of areas? How the government's resurgent now and bombing the suburbs outside of Damascus, trying to wipe out the vestiges of their forces. What do you think is going on there, and what can we do and what can we pray about in that conflict?
Well, your question is a very good one. The Muslim world of the Middle East is going through very tumultuous times, as everybody knows. But Syria, in particular, is one of the key focal points of that. I think looking back in history and the Roman occupation of Syria for so many centuries was very instructive in realizing that unless Syria is calm and solidified, there will be no peace in that region whatsoever.
Period.
Right now, the great powers have involved themselves so heavily that, again, it becomes a proxy war.
Yes.
And I'm speaking about the Muslim people of the Middle East are wonderful people. They're not crazed fanatics, as depicted in the news media, but 99% of them are just like your neighbors and like you and me. They want peace. They want education for their children. They want prosperity. They are very reasonable. But then the ideologies that push people this way and that are fanatical, and they get enough people with guns to make a terrible trouble in the culture. I think because of the U.S. and Russia and Turkey and Iran and Israel and everybody else is lined up in Syria, there will not be an easy solution to that problem, even though ISIS has been decimated for now, both in Aleppo and of course, over in Iraq in Mosul because it was bombed to smithereens. I think ISIS is not finished. They will still be popping up here and there in different countries in Africa and Asia out of the woodwork. Syria could become a model country again if the combatants, namely the Russians, the Iranians, the Americans, Turks, would devise a solution and work together to solve it. I don't see that happening. So I think what we've seen in the last 20 years is Iraq, which was a potentially prosperous country, and Syria, which was at least peaceful internally because of the repressive dictatorship there, these countries have been wrecked beyond repair, and it will take a very long time to heal. The refugee flows, just inside Syria alone, there are 5 million displaced people.
Yes.
And if you go to northern Iraq, which is a safe zone of Kurdistan, there are hundreds of thousands of Syrians who have fled there, as well as 1 million who have fled to Lebanon, 2.5 or 3 million fled to Turkey. I mean, it's a disaster beyond recovery, and I don't think any of us will live long enough to see a unified and peaceful Iraq, unified and peaceful Syria. And that is because of the politics of the 20th century and the 21st century in the Middle East. A lot of repair needs to be done. It needs to start not with bombs and missiles, but with diplomacy and handshakes across the table, even if people are on the other side of the argument. Diplomacy is underrated and could accomplish a great many things if the political will is there.
I would say that the idea of praying for peace in the Middle East is kind of like us in America praying for freedom from the national debt. We know that it's not going to be a one-generation project.
A good point.
If we're going to make the commitment as a people to accomplish some great and important goal, it's going to require us committing ourselves to communicating the vision to the generations after us, to perpetuate the values, to go after the goal and never give up until it's complete. In the best sense, nation building is about is committing ourselves to the betterment of mankind. And of course, we know that when we invest in the welfare of the world, we invest in ourselves. We provide a system that diminishes conflicts, siphons away far less of our national resources in arming wars or committing them, and gives everybody a chance to prosper, period.
You said the right word when you said the word generation, because the hope, Bram, is for the younger generation. Just think about it. Those people in many countries in the Middle East rose up in the Arab Spring. It didn't turn out very well. In Syria, as a matter of fact, it was a disaster.
Yes.
It has had some effect in Tunisia and in Egypt. We haven't seen the Arab Spring really in Sudan yet in full flower. But the young people are hopeful, and now many of them are rising up in Iran. And so when you think about it, which each of them has a mobile phone in their hand, this is the greatest opportunity in history to be a peacemaker. That is to communicate with people of every language and religion and race, that there is hope and that there is a potential peaceful settlement for the terrible trauma and disasters that they find themselves in. And so I would not look at it as all negative development, but opportunity. One of my favorite sayings is, breakdown is opportunity.
Yeah.
There is an opportunity to communicate. You're in the business, Bram, of communication with Compassion Radio, and it's so inspiring to feel that you can reach out to people all around the world. And the idea that you could devise a strategy to reach so many young people with a message of hope today, which you could not have done
yes.
a half century ago, is, I think, very inspiring. And you're one of the leaders in that, and I salute you for it.
Thank you, friend. Now, if we talk about a generational commitment, we harken back to Jesus' words himself. He didn't just say, these people will know me and go to heaven, that'll be the end of it. He did literally pray in front of his disciples for those generations to come, that those who have not heard and not seen would still acknowledge what's happened here and the life that can go into them because of the Spirit of God indwelling. He reached across those generations and spoke to them directly and charged his disciples to become apostles to carry that message forward generation to generation. Kingdom without end. The kingdom began then. It didn't just have a down payment and we're waiting for it to suddenly mature into something full. Every generation has its place and its position and its responsibility to continue growing this kingdom. So if we look at the Middle East right now, Jim, and say, well, in my lifetime, it's never going to get better. So what is the point of investing in God's kingdom there? It's not going to happen. It's literally cut off at the knees, Jesus' command and his calling to us. He's saying, if you won't do it now, what about the next generation? Are you trying to condemn generation after generation to hell? I don't want to be the kind of generation. I want to be the kind of generation that sees our place within the continuum of God's plan and to have hope and to communicate hope from this generation to the next so that they will act in ways that are hopeful and expectant and that they will pursue peace, that they will pursue freedom. And not just in a political sense. I'm talking in a spiritual sense as well. So we have seen, as you said, Jim, highlights of hope still alive in the Arab Spring countries. Tunisia is a good example of real progress. Libya might be. Even Egypt, with all of its death throes of ISIS in the Sinai, there is a renewed sense of compassion for the Christian community, which has borne so much of this torment in the past few years. It's beginning. And Lebanon is seeing itself grow up as a mature nation in dealing with the problems of their neighbors. A lot of things that are positive are happening right now. But most of what we're going to see and hear about, of course, are the disasters that are not rectifying, like Syria and like Yemen. But that does not mean we give up. It does not mean we stop praying. It does not mean we stop going. It does not mean we are entitled to stop caring.
This is an exciting time in history. It's full of hope, and it's full of danger.
Yes.
And I think it calls on our faith to look upward and not just to look at all the darkness that surrounds us.
Good words, my friend. And I thank you for bringing some light to the situation, because even if it seems or sounds dark, at least we know, and that brings light. It informs our prayers. If we just pray blindly into nothingness, then, of course, our prayers would be kind of wishy-washy and kind of goopy. We don't pray with any real fervor. But as we learn what might be happening there and get some details and get informed about our prayer life, we can start praying with a little more expectancy, a little more specificity. And in doing that, I think really our prayer life comes alive. And I do want our Compassion Radio partners and listeners that are out across the United States hearing this program to be committing themselves daily to pray the thing that God lays on their heart from the knowledge that they've been given through channels like this. And to act on that, actually ask God to intercede and intervene in the things that are being mentioned here. So, Jim, thank you for bringing a little bit of light into the situation in the past few days through Bangladesh and through Iran and now through Yemen and Syria. May God continue to give you the strength, my friend, to reach out and find ways to connect with those who will be those generational leaders that influence younger people to carry that torch of peace and hope forward. And along the way, open the doors for the kingdom of God, the bride of Christ, to grow and to flourish in those countries in the generations to follow.
Thank you, Bram, and God bless you, and God bless Compassion Radio.
And that's a wrap on Bram's two-part discussion with our longtime friend and associate, Dr. Jim Jennings of Conscience International, sharing in depth about some of those tough Middle Eastern countries that have certainly been hostile towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are so very fortunate to have Jim as a resource here at Compassion Radio, and we look forward to having him back on again soon. Friends, our purpose at Compassion Radio is not to make our organization big, but rather to help you make a big impact for Jesus Christ in a needy world. Here again is Bram with the last word.
If you've never been a part of our Compassion Radio team before, now is the time. Would you pray about this right now? If you've ever been challenged or moved by what you've heard here, if you've ever wanted to play even a small part in reaching the world for Christ and bringing it closer together, then please join us in this work today. Even a monthly gift of $18 in 2018 would make it possible for us to survive and thrive this year and in the years to come. But truly, it begins today. Bless you, friends, and thank you for taking this challenge seriously and courageously.
Thank you for those words, Bram. So very on point as we get started here in 2018. And by the way, friend, our gift to you for joining our vision team here in January is a special devotional booklet based on the book of Ecclesiastes in paperback or ebook format. You can connect with us right now by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail at Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or online at CompassionRadio.com. That phone number once more is 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the team, have a wonderful day in the Lord. And we'll be back with you again tomorrow with more Compassion Radio.